Our thanks to the choir for the beautiful music they bring for our growing choir, and so grateful for the joy of hearing God's beautiful music coming from these saints and all they bring for our worship time. It's good to see you all this morning on this first Sunday of Advent. I did want to make note of one thing. If you notice, the choir is wearing beautiful blue stoles, and those beautiful blue stoles were made by our triumvirate, our three, Pam Ikigami and Sani Mayakawa and Marianne Tada. And so is this stole as well. Some of you have seen me wear this stole before, but just to remind you all that this stole was made as well by the three of them. And so this morning we're able to see that and give thanks for the giftedness of the folks amongst us and for the ways that they bless our community in such wonderful ways. Well, many of you know that this last year, you want to applaud? Sure, you can applaud to that if you'd like to. Or in keeping with my sermon from a couple of weeks ago, amen to that, right? Amen. All right. Many of you know that this last year has been a most interesting one for me. I've had some interesting health concerns. You know, whenever I talk about myself, when I say the things like the way that I couch my sometimes when I talk about myself, I say, you know, now that I'm getting older, you know, I start to. And I know when I say that, it's sort of relative, and I have to be careful about how I say that, but I am feeling a little bit older. But as I get older, I find that my health has become more kind of up and down. The highs are higher, but the lows are lower, and it's been most interesting. For the most part, it's been fine. It hasn't been too difficult. But probably the thing that I would remember most about this year was that I was sick at Easter time and was not able to come to church on Easter Sunday. Someone asked me a question recently. They said, when was the last time that you missed a Sunday because you were sick? And I had to think about that for a minute. And I went back over 27 years of ministry, and do you know that I have never missed a Sunday because I was sick? I've missed Sundays because I was at conferences. I've missed them because I've been on vacation. But I had never missed a service because I was sick. There were times when I wasn't feeling well, but most of the time I came to church and led the worship anyways. It's been so bad sometimes that I remember once I had this really bad cough, but I had to serve communion on that particular Sunday. And I thought to myself, if I keep coughing, nobody is going to come up for communion. And so I asked I always say it this way, sorry to sound sexist, but I asked the ladies in the kitchen to take the communion bread and to dice it up into small cubes so that I didn't have to touch the bread. I put it in a basket, and they diced up the communion. And I think when I served the communion out of the basket, everybody said, thank you, Reverend Derek. Thank you for not touching the bread today. But I've been at services, Christmas Eve service. I remember once I was so sick that I preached the sermon, and I went back into the back of the office, and I told them at the beginning of the service, don't think that I'm unfriendly. Don't think that I'm not hospitable. I just don't want to make you sick on this Christmas Eve. And so I went back in the office, and I hid. I came out. I preached the sermon. I got through it and went back into the office. But in all of those 27 years, I'd never missed a Sunday because I was ill. Now, that tells you how it probably felt for me on Easter Sunday. I was well enough to get up, but I was not well enough to come to church. And so what I did was I thought to myself, this is just not right. On Easter Sunday, it's just not right. So I got up in the morning, and I turned my computer on. And what did I do? I started to look for Easter services that I could watch on the internet. And so I looked at pastors that I've heard preach before. I've seen communities. And for most of the morning, I watched Easter services on the internet. And do you know that that did absolutely nothing for me at all? On the one hand, I appreciated very much the music and the sermons. It was just a wonderful thing. But it helped me to know what I missed about Easter. It wasn't that I missed the Easter sermon. It wasn't that I missed the Easter music. What I missed was my family. And the thing that I missed the most and that made me sad and despondent was on the highest and holiest day of the church year, I wasn't with my family. And I remember feeling at home just this longing. And Pam came home from the service, and, you know, I wanted to know how it all went. And, you know, me being me, I was like, how did it go? Was the sermon good? Everything went well? And she started to describe it for me, and it created in my heart a deep sadness because I had missed it. And somehow it's made this year most interesting because I felt like I missed something so very important in our church family. As I describe it that way, we all have had those experiences, haven't we, in our lives? All human beings, we know sadness. We know human longing. We've all experienced that in one way or another. And as we think about it, what is it that we do when we experience that kind of longing in our days? Maybe you know somebody, college student, away from home, first time going through the holidays away from their home, and feeling a sense of homesickness because they're not with their friends, they're not with their family, they're not sleeping in their own bed, they're in a strange dormitory, and feeling that sense of longing that they wish they could be home. That doesn't mean that they don't appreciate their time at their school and their time away, and yet it's in those moments where that homesickness comes to us that we experience that human longing. Perhaps you know somebody who has lost a loved one over these last few weeks, and know that there is, especially in this holiday season, a sense of deep loss that comes with that, and feelings of longing and yearning in our hearts, because we know that there is a hole in our own spirit, that our lives are changed because of that loss, and we experience human longing. Perhaps you know somebody in their lives who is going through career struggles, feeling underemployed in a job that they appreciate because they make money, but it doesn't bless them. They don't feel like they're contributing anything. They don't feel like their creativity and the gifts that they've been given are enabling them to really be able to live out in a way this life that and the gifts that they've been given in a way that helps them to feel like they're contributing to society. Maybe it is that you know somebody who is experiencing in these days a sense of loss because they are experiencing racism. They are experiencing prejudice because of gender identity. They're experiencing prejudice in community because of who they are and how they have chosen to live their life. And there isn't that a sense of longing and loss, is there not? Because they experience the idea that life is not as it's intended to be. That at some level, we all experience that distance between what we hope for in this life and what life really is. That we experience a time in our lives when we think to ourselves, is this the life that God has intended for me? Is this who I want to be? Is this what I feel called to be? Or is there more? And then when we look at our lives and feel that sense that things are not the way that we'd hoped that they'd be, the way that they'd envisioned it be, that we experience that sense of longing. And so the question for us is, what do we do with that? When we have those kinds of feelings, what is it that we're going to do with that? As I'm describing this, it's not just somebody that we know who we're describing. We're describing our own selves. Because we all have experienced that kind of longing and loss, feeling that life is not as we'd hoped or intended, that somehow how life has played itself out in this journey is not what we'd hope for or what God would hope for us in this life. So one of the things that we can do when we experience that kind of loss and longing is we can just say, it is what it is. I can't really do anything about it, so I'm just going to continue to walk ahead. But that leads to feelings of despair, doesn't it? Like we're going to just give up. That somehow life just is what it is and it isn't going to change and we're just going to continue to walk this journey and then walk in kind of a cloud or a fog that enables us to continue on but kind of anesthetizes us to all that's going around us. Like we're not feeling it or it doesn't connect with us in this life. The other thing that we can do is we can get angry about it and that we can express it as frustration and do so in a way that makes life not just a fog, but makes us look for things around us that that we would lash out at, ways that we would experience this brokenness inside of us and then express it in our relationships, in our workplace, in our community as putting onto others that which we are feeling deep inside of our own selves because it remains unhealed. And so we find ways to lash out at others because of the anger that we are feeling in this life. Or we can seek out sources of hope that would enable us to remain positive, to move forward positively, and find ways to continue to believe that though life is not what it is presently, what we would hoped it to be or what God would hope it to be, that there is yet before us a new day, a vision of something that's different than is now. And know that it is that vision given to us that helps us to remain hopeful in this day and helps us to believe that what is now is not the final word. It's not the last chapter. That what will come from that in our lives, our hope is that it will move us forward in faith so that we might be able to say that we are continuing to experience in this life challenges, yes, but continuing to experience a sense that God has a purpose that moves us forward and helps us to remain upbeat, helps us to remain positive, helps us to continue to look forward in faith. That's what's happening in the passage this morning from Isaiah 2. The people of Judah are, some background to the scripture passage, the people of Judah are a people under siege. The Assyrians are taking down the northern kingdom and now are coming for the southern kingdom. They feel themselves in great distress because they feel that their lives are coming to an end and they feel the war is very near to them. Not only that, in the first chapter, we started in the second chapter, but in the first chapter, it describes the people of Judah as a people who are faithless, people who are living in a violent society, who are unfair to the poor and the needy amongst them, who are unfaithful, and who are living out lives separated from God. So when we look at the passage in chapter 2 that we read, understanding that context and hearing what happened in chapter 1 helps us to hear the words a little differently because it reminds us that the word of hope that's coming to the people of Israel, these are words that remind them that there is yet a vision of a new day that is before them that seeks to keep them hopeful, even in the midst of their despair, even in the times when they are feeling that their lives might be cut short because of war, even when they have caused their own ruin, because of their faithlessness and because of their depravity, God gives to them a vision of a new day. And so I want to read that again. And giving you that context and allowing you to hear it again, hopefully will help you to hear the vision that God has placed before the people of Israel. The word of Isaiah, son of Amoz, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. In the days to come, the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established as the highest of the mountains and shall be raised above the hills. All the nations shall stream to it. Many people shall come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways, that we may walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth instruction and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between nations and shall arbitrate for many peoples. They shall beat their swords into plowshares, their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. O house of Jacob, come, let us walk in the light of the Lord. That is a vision that the people of God look to give them a source of hope, to help them to believe that what is going on in their lives right now is not the last chapter, but that God intends more for them. And so in that word, they see a light that gives them a flicker of hope and to believe that somehow the life that they have been living is not the life that God will lead them to if they will follow faithfully. And so as we hear that word, we are reminded this day that in the midst of our own longing, in the places where we are feeling a sense of sadness, in the ways that we might experience this life when things don't work together the way that we'd hope that they would, we hear in the season of Advent, come to the light of the Lord. For that is what Advent is for us in the church liturgical year. Advent being the season for us to wait and to watch and to prepare ourselves for the coming of Christ the Lord. But like looking at the last chapter of a book that you're reading before you read the rest of the book, we know that's coming. And so sometimes we pass through Advent really quickly to try to get to the celebration of Christmas so that we might be able to experience the light of God. But for that light to have true meaning for us, we pause in the darkness just for a moment. Because it is in pausing in that darkness that we recognize where our hearts really are in these moments. We know in that darkness we experience that loss and that longing. We feel that sense of sadness. And we ask ourselves, where will the light come to us in this Christmas season? And it is in Advent that we place our hope in Jesus Christ. It is Christ who gives us a vision that reminds us in this season that as we wait and as we watch, a light will come into this world that will show us the pathway that will lead to a new day. And so we trust and wait in that hope. But what we realize in that hope is that it's important for us to understand how that hope comes to us in our days. And how it comes to us is as people, like in the passages of Isaiah 9, people who are walking in darkness, who are in need of a great light to show them the way. We all know what that darkness feels like. We experience it every single day. And the question for us is, in the midst of that, and in the midst of this Advent season, can we find a way to experience in the midst of that darkness the flicker of a light? Martin Luther King said these words, it's only in the darkness when we can truly see the stars. And it's important for us not to go to the star first, but to experience the darkness of the moment and know in doing so that the meaning of the light will become more powerful and more clear. Now, as I'm describing this as this kind of hope, it's important for us to think about it in a broader context, because what can happen to us when we think about hope in this way is that we can find ourselves searching after anything in this world that would be able to provide any flicker of hope in this life. But what we come to realize in this passage is it's not just in waiting and watching. It's not just in actively engaging in anything that we think would find hope, but to find those things that are providing for us a true sense of that light and hope for our lives. In the passage, it reminds us that as the people are receiving this vision, they beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Basically a saying that says they take the implements of war and make them implements of peace. They become implements of creativity so that out of those implements of war, there would become a new life and a new community. And what we realize is how powerful that word is for us, because in our lives, it's so easy for us to look to the things that we think are going to provide for us a sense of hope and find that they are empty, war being one of them. But realizing as well in our communities that we sometimes seek after the things that we hope would give to us a sense of hope, but find they are empty. All we need is a little bit more money. That would help our lives to be better. And find that money is not the solution to this loss and longing that we experience. Well, maybe if we just had more material, if we had more things around us, that would make our lives better. And find that that doesn't provide for us a sense of true hope as well. Maybe it is that we can just name what our problem is and find out who it is in our community that's causing us these problems and blame other people for the ways in which we are experiencing this life and find that it is in blaming others that we find no source of actual hope. All we find is division. All we find is scapegoating, but not a true hope that would lead us to community peace. We realize in this life we're always seeking after that hope, but we would acknowledge that we sometimes run down the wrong path. And so for us in this passage, it reminds us, as we hear the people of Israel taking their swords and making them into plowshares, taking their spears and making them into pruning hooks, that sometimes the things that we think are going to provide that kind of hope, we need to dismantle them and reassemble them into a new thing and come to understand that the hope that would come to us is one that comes to us in our faith through Jesus Christ. And it is in that hope that we might find a true and lasting hope that would move us down the pathway toward fulfillment in this life. And the other thing that's important about this passage is for us to recognize that sometimes when we hear this word, we think, well, let's just sit down and wait. And that hope will somehow produce some blessing to us in this life. And what I want to suggest is the hope that's being described here, it's an active and engaged and audacious hope, because it reminds us that we can't just wait for things to happen. We need to engage that hope and continue to move forward and continue to find in that God is continuing to work through the vision that God has placed inside of us. But if we sit back and we wait and hope that somehow God will do this magically and mystically, we will miss it completely. that we have to be about that hope, not just for ourselves, but for our world as well. And so the challenge for us is to be able to engage that hope, to believe in that hope so audaciously that we would continue to press on in faith and do so in a way that would enable us to see the transformation as we walk forward step by step, continuing to engage that hope in all that it is for us day to day, and do so not just for ourselves, but for the community that is around us. And so, people of God, this day, on this first Sunday of Advent, pause for a moment in the darkness and experience the loss and the longing. I know it's hard for us to do this, but experience the loss and the longing that is a part of the darkness that we experience today. Not just for ourselves, as I'm describing this, not just for ourselves, but for our community, for this world, for all of the ways that we are experiencing this darkness all around us, that we might pause just for a moment. Because as we pause, I believe that the light of Christ will make itself known. And it is in that light growing more intense and more full every single day as we focus on it, that we'll be drawn out from the darkness and into that light. And it is in that light that we will find an ever-living hope that will allow us to continue to walk the journey of faith every single day. Last Sunday, there was a group of us that went to the Faith Action Network dinner. The Faith Action Network is an interreligious organization here in Seattle that is a justice and advocacy coalition. We had signed up for this dinner probably about a month or two ago, late in October. The little birds were talking to me saying, Reverend Derek, we should go to the Faith Action Network dinner. And I was like, okay, that sounds like a good idea, so let's go ahead and get the table. So we got the table and scrambling around trying to assemble people to come to this dinner. And then the election happened. And it took on a whole different tone and tenor for those of us who were going to go. And there was a way in which it wasn't just a dinner that we were going to anymore. There was a way in which it lifted us up and said, this dinner is something that we have to go to. And so we went to this dinner. There was probably about 400 people there. There were Jewish folks there. There were Muslim folks there. There were many Christians all sitting in this room together. And some of it was a little bit cheesy. They were giving awards and doing some other things. And then the speaker came up, a Jewish rabbi, woman rabbi, came up and started speaking. And she filled this room with just passionate vision and hope for the day. And you would think that the Faith Action Network would get together and people would feel like, wow, this is just horrible where we are as a country. But while we were together, there was a spirit that lifted up that room. Standing ovation after standing ovation after standing ovation. People saying, we are together to receive a vision and know in that vision that we will find hope for a new day. Does it change where we are as a country? It does not. But is it going to change each one of us and tell us that it's important for us to take a role to be the change we desire to see in the world, as Gandhi said? And so as we walked out of this dinner, I felt the power of God in that moment. And it was something that came not just from the speakers, but from the energy in the room. Because that group said, we're not giving up. We know that this is the time and the season for us to stand up and advocate for justice for all people. And in the power of that moment, you could feel that flicker of hope in the midst of the darkness that all of us in that place were feeling. And in that flicker of hope, we walked out of there believing that though we are living in a time that is challenging, though we are living in a situation that we don't feel is healthy or going to lead us to be the nation that we desire to be, that it is going to come back not to believing that government will solve all of our problems, but coming to the place of recognizing that advocacy and justice and community, it starts with each one of us from the ground up. And in that, know that transformation and hope continue on. That is the kind of hope that I am talking about that comes to us from Jesus Christ. And so in the midst of our Advent, as we prepare ourselves for the coming of Christ, we pause for a moment in the darkness and seek out that flicker of light. And in that flicker of light, come to experience the gift of the Christ who lights that way for us, that helps us to know that it is in Christ that we will find this ever-living hope. Hope that is engaged and audacious, that calls us beyond who we are and challenges us to be the very changes that God is calling us to be about in community. And know that if it is a vision from Christ, if it is one that we can experience, where we are experiencing an empowerment that calls us to walk forward to a new day, then we can know that that is truly the light of Christ that enlightens our path and leads the way. And so in this Advent season, my prayer for all of us is that we would pause in the darkness just for a moment and find in that that we would experience a flicker of light that comes to us as we wait and watch for Jesus Christ. And then find in that the audaciousness to step out in faith and say that we will continue to move forward, remain positive, stay upbeat, continue to move on, and in that, find that we will come nearer to the light, so much so that it will begin to envelop us and transform not just us, but our world. May that be our Advent prayer. May that be our hope for our day and the days to come. Let's join together for a word of prayer. Gracious God, we come before you in this Advent season acknowledging a reality that is sometimes difficult for us. That reality reminds us that our lives, they are not what we would hope they would be. Sometimes those things are caused by choices that we have made. Other times they come to us as afflictions that sometimes don't make sense, that we don't always understand. And yet in that, oh God, we are reminded this day that as we pause in this moment and experience that darkness, that we, like the people of Israel, we will find that a light comes to us by the power of your hope in us. We pray, oh God, that you would keep us mindful of that light that is Christ that is just before us. Help us, like the wise men, to follow that star, for that star will lead us to a new day. It sometimes is difficult, oh God, for us to imagine continuing to walk on in the journey. There are so many times that we want to give up. And yet, in that, oh God, you remind us every single day that you call us with a powerful vision to move forward in faith, to continue to trust and believe that you are leading us to the light for a purpose. And in that, come to discover that the light that we would experience is not something that we would hold to ourselves alone, but that we would allow that light to shine through us for the community so that we might not just seek after hope, but we might be the source of hope for others. We pray, O God, that you would bless and be with us in this. Continue to guide us through the season of Advent, O God, as we continue to focus our lives on the coming Christ and know that the Christ will come into the world once again and turn our lives around so we might experience the fullness of the life that you intend for us, for our community, and for this world. We pray these things, O God, to you in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.